It is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan. Welcome along to the show today. With the country in political chaos, it seems, particularly when it comes to things like the hate speech bill and, of course, the EU migration pact. We want to take your calls today, by the way, and the number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Firstly, we want, a little bit later on, by the way, we're going to be focusing on the new transport strategy. We will be talking to the president of the Irish Haulage Association and why the government have decided now, well, Eamon Ryan, the Green Party, have decided that they agree with the new strategy. The new strategy, of course, brings in congestion charges. It abolishes the ability for businesses to claim back, say, VAT and tax on diesel and petrol. It equalises diesel and petrol prices, which means diesel will go up. And as we know, there's already two price increases on the cards as well this year in both April and August. It brings in an awful lot of other strategies, including parking levies, all sorts of things. And the Irish president of the Road Haulage Association ain't happy. He said this is the final nail in the coffin, and we'll be talking to him later on, and whether you agree you should stop driving to save the planet. But first, of course, the EU migration pact. A lot of you might be thinking about this, you might have heard about it, you're wondering what the importance of it is. Well, the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, is to seek government approval later today for Ireland to opt into a EU-wide pact on migration. Now, the EU Asylum and Migration Pact allows some member states the option of paying a monetary contribution, which is about 25 grand per person, by the way, to the bloc rather than accepting a migrant. And that's not just per person, it's per person per year. So if we refuse an asylum seeker, we must give the EU 25 grand roughly per person per year. Now, where does this all stem from? Well, in 2020, President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, admitted that migration is complex, you don't say. The old system, she said, no longer works. Well, I believe the old system was working, we just made a mess of it and became reckless. But anyway, she was proposing a new EU pact, one of the biggest overhauls to the EU asylum and migration system in years. And the pact will replace the International Protection Act of 2015 within the next 2 years. This will be all finished and signed off within the next year and a half or so. And sources said it will be the biggest reform in Irish immigration law in decades. Do we actually have immigration law in this country? I fail to see how we do at the moment. It's understood that McEntee will outline how she expects their reform to immigration law and how it will lead to effective and more processing of applicants, or more a streamlined processing of applications, which require shorter time frames for applications for people seeking to stay in Ireland. The measure is one of two significant proposals on the issue of the coming before the cabinet today, as Integration Minister Roderick O'Gorman, is he not gone yet, will seek the green light to embark on a long-term strategy to use empty office spaces as accommodation for asylum applications. It's just getting crazy at this stage, isn't it? Now, on December the 23rd, after 3 years of negotiations, the Council and the European Parliament announced that they had reached political agreements on the key issues of the pact. This is why it's so important that we elect the right people for Europe. They're the people representing us in Europe all the time. And remember, over 75% of our laws come from Europe. Now, the pact will oblige states to conduct enhanced screening and security checks on those arriving at borders, and will also provide a more effective way for countries to cut down on secondary movement. All in all, it actually sounds quite good in comparison to what's going on in this country at the moment, which is quite reckless. But really what we're being given is a Hobson's choice. Now, people are saying they shouldn't sign this pact unless they put it to the people. And I did hear one politician saying, well, we can't have a referendum on this because it's not constitutional, which is complete and utter nonsense. Because according to our constitution, we actually can have a referendum on something that's not constitutional. It's called the reference of bills to people, which is classed as what they call an ordinary constitution. And the way that happens essentially is that our senators and our Oireachtas petition the president at his discretion to call a referendum of the people on something that's not constitutional. Well, to talk to me a little bit more about it today is Michael Collins, TD with Independent Ireland, one of the newer parties that a lot of people seem to have a huge amount of interest in at the moment. Michael, hi, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, Niall, and yourself?
Good. Michael, firstly, if you were to look at this pact, you know, from the outside, I suppose based on what's happening right now in Ireland, it seems like a better choice because at least there'd be better screening, etc., etc., although it will cost us 25 grand per person to refuse people. But that's only because our immigration law is in a mess at the moment, I imagine.
Yes, indeed. But the problem I have with this new EU migration and asylum pact is that we haven't seen it as elected representatives to start with. And the people of this country don't trust our government anymore in relation to the rollout of how we're dealing with migrants into our country. So, first of all, we need to see what's in the document. We're being fed a very positive spins on it, but fed a positive spins and what this government has rolled out to date is not very positive. What I can't understand is that, surely be to God, that we should have fingerprinting in place already in this country. If somebody had no passport, they shouldn't have got into this country, because it happens, it has happened for the last 20, 30 years. If you have no passport, you can't get on a plane. And obviously, some people can, but it shouldn't be the case. And enhanced screening, all those three situations should have been in place already.
Well, they're saying, sorry, Michael Ridgeham, they're saying this will accelerate processing, including from those from safe countries that have false or no documentation and those who have crossed borders illegally. The pact will also see an expansion of the categories of migrants who will be fingerprinted and checked against the Eurodac database. Now, we know, according to Grip Media, more recently, even though the minister had said that people were being checked, people weren't being checked, and Garda Síochána Conor are not requesting through Eurodac fingerprints for anybody coming into the country. So at the moment, we have a pretty lax policy.
We have, and that shouldn't be the case. Regardless of whether this is a migration issue or not, nobody should be allowed into any country without being properly screened or without being properly fingerprinted or without having a passport. And even if they bring in this new legislation that's been put before the people, it will take 2 years, they're saying, before it will be worked into law. So we're still way short of dealing with the issue that we have today. And the problem we have today is I feel that this should go to... I'm very, very slow about talking about referendums, and we saw how the Dutch government and opposition were in the referendum a couple of weeks ago, completely and utterly out of touch. And they're out of touch in this issue also. And that's why they're afraid. Take this to the country. Let the people have their say in this. You know, we should stand alongside countries like Denmark, and which retains its legal right to opt out of EU immigration policies. And the reason I'm saying that is that I'm not being one of those that said we should never have left anybody in here in the first place. We need to mind and look after what's in here right now. But what are we offering people? They're coming off a plane today, here's a tent and here's a blanket. Sleep in Dublin City or wherever, the nearest place you can lie down.
Well, but I see Roderick O'Gorman today is now requesting the Cabinet that they be allowed to use empty offices. I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this stage. Now, we're looking at warehouses, empty offices, or basically anywhere with a roof on it to put people into, which is inhumane in itself. But getting back to the idea of a referendum, now, in the history of the state, we have never called what they call an ordinary referendum, which is an unconstitutional referendum. But some people are saying it's not possible. But it is possible, from what I believe, at the discretion of the president, isn't it?
From what I can gather, it is possible, but I can guarantee you now that the government will refuse that to the people of this country. There's been a series of opinion polls. 70 to 75% of people that are not racist in this country have very clearly made statements that we have done our part and we can do no more. My mindset is that we look after those who are here, take them in off the street, make sure they're home properly, but stop taking in more. We're putting extra people on the street. So what I'm saying is that we need to opt out in this. Any more agreements or any more pacts, we certainly need to scrutinise this with a fine comb, because the government can't be trusted in this. They've made a right hands of the whole situation up to now, Minister O'Gorman and others there in government, and they're now trying to sign up another pact, another agreement, an EU agreement that we don't need to, and we can opt out. And I urge the government to exercise, all right, topped out of this pact. If it comes before the dog, every elected TD must choose between safeguarding our sovereignty or further surrendering it
but,
to the EU.
But you're saying safeguarding our sovereignty. Mr. Micheál Martin only recently told us he didn't really care too much about our sovereignty, that we didn't have any sovereignty, and he's not too concerned about that. But it seems he's the only one who thinks like that. Now, the government are in political turmoil at the moment because they got a good kicking in that referendum, which, by the way, has made your party and many of the smaller parties and independents a lot more popular because people are looking at their options now. But what's going to happen now? I mean, firstly, do you see a general election?
I don't. I see the incoming Taoiseach trying to, I'd say, pander to the public out there to try and see can he make changes. He can't make changes. Because Fianna Fáil
I don't think he's pandering, Michael. I mean, he turned around yesterday and said he was firing ahead with the hate speech bill. And, you know, there's a load of them jumping the ship at the moment because of the hate speech bill. And yet, you know, Simon Harris yesterday morning on News Talk said that he was motoring ahead with it. So I don't think he's pandering to the people, really, is he?
Well, he's now saying we put in amendments up to now. They were trying to completely go straight through this hate speech without any consultation whatsoever. And my worry is he's pandering, obviously, to the Green Party. He's going to have to do what he thought. He's going to be whipped under the table the same as the rest. And we need a government that's out there listening to the public, because the public are crying out. And they cried out in the referendum. They're crying out in relation to immigration. And nobody seems to want to listen. So if 70, 75% of people are saying something and they did it in the referendum, is there a problem with that? I heard a TD inside in Dalian screaming and roaring that he wanted a yes vote on a Thursday, two yes votes, and it turned around 80% of his electorate voted no. That tells you how out of touch some TDs aren't, most TDs aren't signed at all, especially government parties, but the opposition aren't standing up now. We say what they hate, hate speech. Yes, Sinn Féin are coming out now saying, no, actually we oppose it, when they were totally different to this.
Well, Sinn Féin are doing the biggest U-turns in history, in the history of the state. I don't think they've ever been an opposition party. Apart from anything else, they've just been landed, of course, Twitter, or X as it's now called, have just given them a community notice for the post they put up tonight saying that they're against the hate speech bill. Well, all of them actually voted for it last June.
Absolutely, and that's been widely put out there in the media in the last couple of days. You can't be seeing one way and then twitching another way. It's obvious what's happening here. The referendums have to give me some kick in the you-know-where, and they're after waking up and realising, wait a minute, there's actually a public out there that we need to sit up and listen to, that we've been doing, Independent Ireland, have been doing for the last number of years. It's just quite simple and it's quite plain. People are not in this country.
But are the people listening?
We've done so much. We need to help people that are in this country already. We need to bring them in off the streets, put them carefully into the place, but stop, hold up the whole situation of bringing new people in and further exacerbating the problem that's out there.
Do you think people really understand? Because it's okay for you, you're in the political sphere, of course, you know, so am I. We can essentially say we're all in a bit of a political echo chamber because we hear what's going on. But the average person on the street, you know, when you're walking down Grafton Street, you see people walking in and out of Brown Thomas's and going about their daily business. Do they really understand how politicians currently in this country at the moment are U-turning left, right and centre and jumping off sinking ships? Do they really understand that? Or are they just going to do what their dad did and what their ma did and vote for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael? I mean, what's going to happen in this next election? Do you really think there's going to be a big change?
I think there is going to be a big change, and I think people have had it, you know, and they are watching. Like a lot of people said, oh, people didn't understand what was going on in the last referendum. They listened. They listened carefully, and they see senior ministers being absolutely destroyed on our TV screens, on our radio, by barristers and people that were the proper and the correct people to speak to. We have a problem in this country. We need to change the way the local authority works. We need to change the way MEPs and Europe works. They're not at all. Anybody out in Europe isn't talking on behalf of the people of this country.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When we see this bill and other bills like this, and as you know, 75% of our legislation now comes from Europe. When we see this bill and we see the individuals that we have over in Europe, or even Fine Gael MEPs over in Europe voting against their own party, when we see people over there, they're not making the right decisions on our behalf, really, are they?
They're not, and you see, it's like you said, most of the legislation starts in Europe. We need to have the right people out there in Europe, and that's what Independent Ireland are hoping to do, is put people out there that will stand up and say, hang on, that's not going to work in my country. Mm. And we will stand and we will oppose this going forward until you make changes, or else it's scrapped completely. And if that isn't going to, you know, I'm a pro-Europe myself, but we need to stand up and fight against certain legislation that's coming forward from Europe and not lie down like we've been. That's what we've been over the last number of years. And unfortunately, I hate to say this, but we spent 4.5 years hardly hearing anything from our MEPs, and then all of a sudden, 6 months before an election, they're all over the place. They're going to save the world. But they haven't saved us today.
I've seen that,
and they
left
us out in the ocean on our own. And it's not good enough, and it's not good. And we have to make changes here. And I'm, you know, I hope that happened in June, because people are sitting up and listening, and the referendum was a clear guideline as to that. The whole political system, bar Independent Ireland and a couple of more, were out there saying absolutely yes. They were saying Sinn Féin, Social Democrats, Labour, and you had Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens, of course, saying yes. And the nation said, hang on, no way, forget it. This is not going to work in our country. Move on.
And you are right in relation to these MEPs. They do have an obligation to the people to report back to the people of what's going on in Europe. They're not doing that at the moment. You're right. What we only see is we see them being elected. And then, as you rightly said, you know, 4 or 5 months before the next election, which is in June, of course, you know, all of a sudden they're cutting ribbons in supermarkets and they're back again. You know what I mean? Obviously looking for your vote. But in relation to Independent Ireland and some of the smaller parties, are we going to see candidates in every area across the country for, you know, you guys to get an opportunity to get in there and make a change? Are we going to be able to see that change? Because we all know you can vote for all the independents in the world, but they don't have enough power. They can't get together and make decisions together. So what we need are parties. So are Independent Ireland, AIM2, all the other smaller parties, do you think they're going to have enough candidates to get in there and make a difference?
Well, I'm very hopeful, because we're getting a huge reaction in relation to the local, obviously the next election we assume is the local election, which most likely is going to be. We're getting a huge reaction from new people that want to run, from existing independents that want to run. We're careful about maybe candidates from parties that want to defect onto us, even though they come forward. And look, we'll carefully vet them out and see are they interested. But we're working through the country, launching candidates, and we're getting a very, very positive, incredibly positive response. I think people are hungry. They want a club of independents to come together and deliver for their people, because independents seem to be the voice come forward. And this is very much an independent group. And the same with Europe. I think we've interested, very, very high class people interested in running for Europe for us. And if we get those candidates across the line, I'm pretty sure the people and the public will respond in dramatic fashion and elect our councillors and elect our MEPs going forward.
A final question, just in relation to the EU pact, because we're going to be talking about it now, the migration pact, with some of our callers. Do you believe a referendum should be called?
We have to have a referendum in this country on such an issue that 70 to 75% of the people have made a decision, but the government will railroad their decision and railroad their mindset and go ahead with whatever they want themselves. It's not good enough and it won't work then.
Listen, thank you very much indeed. Michael Collins, TD for Independent Ireland. I appreciate you joining us today. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, there you go. Michael Collins says we should have a referendum. And just to clarify again for those naysayers who believe that we can't call a referendum on what is called a non-constitutional matter, because as you know, to change the constitution of the country, we must have a referendum. But when it's a non-constitutional matter like this, because we have elected representatives to represent us in Europe and to represent us here to sign these types of treaties or agreements or pacts, we give them permission to do that. And we've done that already. But if it's of something what they class of a reference of bills to the people, we can call what they call an ordinary referendum. So to clarify, it's never been used, by the way. Never been used. It's part of, I think, Article 27. It's never been used in this country. But we could do it. The way it's done is that a petition must be sent by the Oireachtas members and including major senators as well to the president, and it's at his discretion that a referendum should be called. So the idea that Michael Collins is saying that 70 to 75% of the people, according to a RESI poll and an Amora poll, believe that we have let too many people into the country, or indeed they believe, obviously, that it's reckless in some way, the way we're dealing with immigration in this country, means that maybe we should have a referendum. Let's see how that turns out. The number is 085-100-2255. Do you agree with Ireland signing the Migration Pact? Now, as I said from the outset, if you look at it, they're selling it as something good, that we can refuse to let people in. We can pay instead of letting people in. And Ireland, by the way, will have to let the most amount of people in because our GDP is so high, which is, by the way, falsely inflated. But in saying that, it's better than what we have. But what we have is wrong. What we have currently at the moment is a free-for-all. And that shouldn't be the case, because if we go back in time to the original Act, the Immigration Act here in Ireland, you know, we should be implementing the law, but we're not. Now, if we're going to continue with the same politicians, well, the EU Migration Pact seems like a better option. But if we're going to change our politicians and actually implement immigration law, well, the EU Migration Pact is selling our souls to Europe. So let me know what you think. Do you believe we should sign this treaty? The number is 085-100-2255. Don't forget, by the way, please support the show. Every day we operate the show, we let you on to have your uncensored opinion. We bring on the people that matter to talk about it, and we want your support. The bills come in at the end of the month. The only way we can pay them is through your subscriptions and donations. We don't have advertising on the screen, as you see. We've avoided that all along, and we don't want to do that. We don't want to be the hands of an advertiser telling us what we can and can't talk about. So please support the show. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com, and you can donate or you can subscribe to the show there. Let me go to some of our callers if I can. Let me go to John, and I'm sure John has a fair opinion on this. John, hi, how are you?
Hello, how are things?
Nice to talk to you again. John, I mean, from the outset, looking in, it's a better idea than what we have, but what we have is a shit show.
Well, you're quite right. It is a shit show, and if we carry on the way we're going, it's amazing. Like, now they're converting office blocks into accommodation. Yes, I mean, and look, as we said many times, and it's no harm to repeat it, I mean, they couldn't look after our own. I mean, they couldn't convert a dog's kennel to look after the people that had problems, social problems, alcohol problems, drug problems, homelessness, whatever. However, they ended up in the streets, they seemed to be sidelined. And like, there was one Fine Gael Councillor Cork, when people were in tents, he described them as nothing but litter. That's what he thought of the people. Like, he described people, human beings, as litter. And this is the mindset that was out there. No. And what they have done, and I think it's an absolute disgrace to have anyone called the Irish racist, it's they have made the Irish people like that. The very fact that they're questioning, you know, people are unsettled, and rightly so, Niall. Right. We're now being put down as racist. And we're made to feel like that we're racist if you question anything. The Irish people were never racist in the first place. It's the Irish government, the traitor Martin, Varadkar, and the Greens, the whole lot of them, the O'Gormans. It's they made the people act like
I don't disagree. What they've done is they've created a divisive society. So by allowing this to happen, and we can only refer to our immigration policy as being reckless at the moment. By allowing this to happen, it has created division in society. And, you know, and it's created problems, and it's created anger, it's created frustration.
Huge problems.
Absolutely. And the government have only themselves to blame for that. It's not the immigrants' fault, can I point out. They're taking advantage of a system that we've allowed them to take advantage of. That shouldn't be happening. Those people who are in hotels, who are in warehouses, who are in modular buildings or whatever it is, you know, they shouldn't be here. And many of them shouldn't be here in the first place. Some of them should, of course, because they should be helped. But many of them shouldn't.
I would implore people, no, well, listen to Michael Collins there at the start of your piece today, right? And he's running his party.
He's a good man.
And Alliance, whatever. He's a good man. You have had it all being another excellent party, Ian Toole. I would implore people to vote for Ian Toole, vote for Michael Collins' party, any other party that makes sense out there, independence to last, and give those people that are now supposedly running the country, which they're not, the biggest kicking. They deserve a bigger kicking than they got 2 Fridays ago. That's what they deserve. They're absolute traitors and they're nothing else. And this idea about is what's after happening now, the Irish Parliament now is resembling the Ballymagash Urban District Council that just beyond Frank Carlisle those years ago.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. Party political.
We're being told what to do by Europe. Why we are even electing people along in the first place, but I would continue to push being elected here because we need our own parliament. We need our own sovereignty. And you're quite right. Not too long ago, Micheál Martin said he doesn't believe in backward-looking sovereignty. I will take it a step further. I will say Micheál Martin doesn't believe in sovereignty at all or republicanism.
Okay, well, listen, thank you for that, John. Appreciate it. Let me just go to Martin, if I can. Martin, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Ireland. Well, thank you.
Good. Martin, now this is going to be presented to the Cabinet today for permission to sign this without actually asking the people. And as I said already, when you look at it from the outset, it talks about proper screening, fast-tracking systems, being able to pay rather than taking people in. Although I don't believe we should be paying millions of taxpayers' money, 25,000 per person per year, you know, of taxpayers' money just to avoid doing it. We do have an option not to sign this and not to agree to it. But what have we got at the moment? A mess.
Absolutely. And no matter what, well, I suspect I know what way it'll go, but no matter what way it goes, it'll still be a mess. They won't sort it out. Because make no mistake about it, Niall. You know, we hear all the time that they're out of touch with the people. It's not just that they're out of touch. They don't care. You know, they really don't care. If they cared about the people, we wouldn't have had all the things we've had. Water charges.
Property tax.
You know, property tax. All these things. Things that the... And this notion, what boils my blood is when I hear things like, oh, well, the Irish went all over the world.
What?
Yeah, I went around Europe when I was younger.
It's irrelevant,
Working, I was paying tax.
Right? Now, that analogy is daft. Or the other analogy that I've heard Neil Richmond using as well is, you know, oh, look, we've welcomed people in from all over the world. Without migrants, we wouldn't have a health service. We wouldn't have hospitality. But there are people who came legitimately to Ireland, to the visa programs and green cards.
Yeah, and at the same moment that those qualified people are coming into Ireland from all over, from the Middle East or from Africa or wherever else, to prop up our failing health service. On the planes they come in on, when those planes are turning around and going out or going off to Australia or the States or wherever else, we have our own indigenously trained Irish doctors, nurses, engineers, all the rest, all going elsewhere because that's where they can only make a living. I mean, it's ludicrous. We're paying to educate people and we're exporting them and then we're bringing people in. Look, I have no issue with bringing in people that are under threat either because of religious or whatever else, or people that are coming in to contribute to the country. But make no mistake about it. You know, Helen McEntee, I mean, like, there are so many conflicts of interest with this woman. You know, I her husband, as far as I know, is still involved with a
couple of ex-puberty blockers.
You know, and one of their biggest sellers is puberty blockers.
I think they're a Chicago-based company.
All this hate speech nonsense. I can tell you that no matter what way it all goes, they can say whatever I say is hate speech. It's not hate speech. I'm speaking practically, from a practical point of view. What have they done since they got into government except make the country worse? They've divided people. And as bad as things are, and I think I said this to you before, what's going to happen, Helen McEntee and the rest of them, O'Gorm and the whole lot of them, they go on about the rise of the right and the far right, the whole lot. They are the primary cause of anything that will happen with regard to the right rising in this country. And when I say the right, I don't mean just...
Yeah, because what they're doing is getting involved in culture wars constantly all the time.
Yes.
But in saying that, getting back to the EU pact, do you believe there should be a referendum on it? And again, I was told by somebody today that we can't call a referendum. I know we can.
Of course we can.
Yeah.
We can if they want to do, but they don't want to. They don't want the people in control. They want control. And this thing about my understanding of how the European Parliament works, it's not the European parliamentarians, parliamentarians, they're handed all these bills and these laws from the European Commission. So they're the ones that come up with it, and then it's just rubber stamped.
Oh no,
the European Parliament.
But I've watched the European MEPs in this country over the last 5 years just putting their hands up and saying yes to everything. You know,
yeah.
And what I find about MEPs in this country is they don't come back and report to the people. We don't see them again. You know, and they should be coming back to report to the people. They should be on television. They should be in the Dáil reporting to the people and telling the people what recently they've said yes to or no to, so they can be answerable to the people, because we're the ones who elect them. But we don't see them. And in the last 4 weeks, I have seen at least 7 or 8 of them that I haven't seen in 4.5 years since they were elected.
Yep.
Cutting ribbons in supermarkets and all stupid things like that. You know,
babies pressing the flesh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pretending they're doing something, looking to get voted in again. I say, don't vote them in again. They're useless.
No, but because the whole problem is that there's no visibility. There's no accountability. You know, when people go to Europe, They're not followed up by the press. There's nobody there representing the people and keeping up.
Well, there should
very
be.
Few. I mean, you know, you've the likes of yourselves, Gripped, and a couple of other independent journalists that do keep their finger on the pulse of what's happening. But because it's so, the media is so controlled by the major media, it doesn't get out there. And the major media are controlled in turn by the government.
Mm.
You know, you've the likes of yourself and Grip Media who don't receive any kind of stipend or any kind of support or backup from the government financially, yet the other media outlets do. And that's where the problem is. That should all be brought to a halt, completely brought to a halt. No media outlet should be supported by the government. The vast majority of NGOs should be done away with. It's money wasted. And the idea that someone could come into my country without documentation, it's a crime to get on an aircraft. You can't get on an aircraft without documentation. How can you get off that aircraft and walk into a country without documentation? Because you didn't get on the aircraft without it. You should be turned around, put back on that aircraft, and the air carrier should be told, you allowed this person to get off this aircraft without a passport. It's up to you to take them back. You take up the charge.
There is supposed to be fines, by the way. You know, airlines are meant to be fined for allowing... Well, I think, as far as I know, the rule is allowing anybody onto an aircraft without documentation, but I don't believe any airline lets anybody onto an aircraft without documentation. I mean, could you possibly imagine when you're going on your holidays to America or Spain or wherever it is to try and get onto an aircraft with no documentation? It's just not possible. It just isn't possible because it's checked at least 4 or 5 times going through security, at the check-in desk, at the gate, when you're getting onto the plane. Like, it's checked so many times. So there's nobody getting on an aircraft without documentation. What they're doing is flushing it down the jacks when they get into it. You know?
Yeah, so. I mean, at the moment, if we want to bring a vehicle for what's it called, the roadworthiness test or whatever.
NCT.
NCT, you have to provide documentation just on that alone. And that's just to bring a vehicle in so that the government can say, well, we're going to put you on a database linked to this vehicle, but you have to provide identification to say that you own this vehicle or that you're bringing it in for a test. And yet people can walk into the country with no identification. We don't know anything about them, their background.
And they will lie about their background. They will lie from where they're from.
If they have a criminal history, or if they may have a highly contagious disease.
Well, here's the thing. In principle, what the EU Migration Pact is saying, we should be doing here anyway, right? It talks about, you know, streamlining it, proper checks to Eurodat. You know, it talks about fingerprinting. It talks about all of those kind of things that we should be doing. But we haven't been doing any of that. So, you know, like, as I said already there, I mentioned to Michael Collins, there will be an accelerated processing, including for those from safe countries, those with no or false documents, and those who have crossed borders illegally. The pact will also see an expansion of categories of migrants who will be fingerprinted and checked against the Eurodac database. Now, we're not doing that at the moment. So that kind of sounds attractive. But here's the thing. It only sounds attractive because it's a Hobson's choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we're not doing these things.
Yeah, and there's so many things we're not doing. Like, you know, it really isn't rocket science. We have more laws than we can point a stick at in this country that are not enforced. You've only got to go out and just go for a walk down your street, and you'll see all kinds of laws, rules, and regulations that are not enforced. And the attitude is, we don't have the resources, and we don't want to impede too much on people, and it's all nonsense.
It is. But do you a favour, Martin, say that because I've a few more people just to get to, but I want you to say it with me. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm not so bad. Snow in West Cork today.
Oh, it's raining here, yeah.
On this issue, I think there should be a referendum because it's affecting every individual person's life in Ireland. Mm-hmm. So to me, there should be a referendum.
And it's costing a massive amount of taxpayers' money as well, but go on, yeah.
Yeah, but they have. Are we not doing a referendum at the local elections?
Well, we are on patents. Patent referendum. Yeah.
So we could just. This could be added.
It could. Might be a bit late for that now, but maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's only my thought. And my other thought that only came to me when I was listening to the previous caller. Yes, we do get immigrants in that work in the HSE and in private hospitals. Right. Most of these doctors and nurses are on fixed-term contracts. And I can tell you, as soon as they can, they get out of Ireland again. They don't stay. They're here. A lot of our doctors, actually, that are here, come in, they do their 5 or 6 years to make registrar, do 2 years at registrar, and then they bugger off. So we're no better off. If you know what I mean.
No, I understand. They're using the system for their own gain. But look, fair play, and look, we need them. So
absolutely. But this notion sold to the government that all these people are coming in and they're actually working and staying is nonsense.
Well, what we're seeing coming through in the asylum process. Unfortunately, what we see is people who are not skilled people. To the visa process and those who work in the hospitals and everywhere else, of course, they are skilled. The tech companies, etc., they're skilled people. And by the way, we should expand on that, and we should be, you know, allowing more people to use that system legitimately. But what we're seeing coming in through the asylum process are people seeking international protection are people who are not skilled labourers. They're never going to be on high wages, most of them. They'll be on minimum wage jobs if they do get jobs. And they will always be somewhat of a drain on the state.
Now, I'll tell you this, and it's a true fact. My father worked for agriculture, north and south, and in the UK, and he was sent to Africa. I'll not mention the country, but there's a lot of them arriving here. And he said as soon as anything broke, they wanted a new one. And it was based on the tribal son drove the tractor. The women did all the manual work and the men sat at home. And he said, that's their culture and that's just the way it is. And they're not going to change.
Depending on what part of the continent of Africa they're from, yes, I understand the point you're making. And you know, by the way, there is an argument too that multiculturalism has failed miserably in most places in the world that it has been introduced.
The big problem is, I think even for democracy, especially in Ireland, is... If you go on to German news or Swedish news or French news, you can see everything that's happening across Europe. Whether it's good or bad for that country, whether it's left or right, What do we get in Ireland? We get nothing. I mean, we don't get coverage of any international issue. We get a one, whatever the NGO dictates. Because I reckon the NGOs are telling Leo and blah, 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 the idiots up in the Doyle what to do.
So, Stephen, I'm just curious then, based on everything you've said, you know, you've got an election coming, well, you've local elections coming up now very soon. You know, who are you going to be voting for? And if a general election comes, who are you going to be voting for? So, I mean, is there anybody worth voting for?
I'll be voting for the new parties. So I will. And because I'm down in West Cork, the local guy in Skibbereen will be getting mine. Helen McAtee will be told to go in Forth and Multiply. And if you know what I mean, I think that's the overwhelming feeling in our part.
I think it's the overwhelming feeling in the country, but I just hope that reflects in the election box, in the ballot boxes, when the elections come around.
Well, I do actually think there's going to be a whole lot more independent, because, you know...
And I agree with you, but the problem is, and I'm sure Martin will agree, you know, when you vote for a lot of independents, that's well and good and that's great, but they can't form a government because they can't agree with each other. They're all kind of on the same page, but they disagree on a lot of issues.
Yeah, well, sure. The three that are in, or even the Doyle at the minute, is just full of people that agree with absolutely everything the EU says. Like, we are the dumping ground of Europe because the people are just coming in to Ireland all through Europe. And to me, there has to be an agreement somewhere, right? Ireland, your concessions on are such, such, and such, and such. And we will not punish, increase taxes or whatever on these things. And that's probably why, you know, our farmers are not up in arms. Because I'm sure the cuts and things that are happening in Holland, Germany, France, Spain, Italy are far, far worse than they are in Ireland to the farming sector.
Okay, well hold on. Cause thank you for that, Stephen. Yeah, sorry, Martin, go ahead. You want to say something just before I go to Joe?
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to, like, if you think back, you know, to when they were trying to form a government, look how long we were without a government and the country continued. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to the newer parties, the Conservative parties and independent Conservatives, I think generally they may not be cohesive on everything, on every policy, but I think there'd be a broad kind of agreement on what the people of the country see as important. Now, you will always get down to personalities and, oh, I want to be leader, or you can't be leader, or Taoiseach, or whatever. But those are all things that are negotiated out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They will be negotiated.
So who are you voting for? So who are you voting for?
It'll be into Independent Ireland. I'm looking at several parties and several independents in my area, but I still have a lot more research to do on them.
Okay.
But I can tell you, as I've said before, Niall, I think if you want to use your vote properly, vote all the way to the bottom of the ballot paper, you know, to the final number.
Absolutely.
And the final numbers for me will be, you know, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, the Greens, Labour, the whole lot of them, because they're all useless. None of them have our best interests at heart. None of them.
Okay, thank you for that, Martin. Thank you, Stephen. Let me go to Joe. Joe, hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Good afternoon. Joe, getting back to the topic at hand, the EU Migration Pact, you know, they're bringing this before the Cabinet today for approval to be signed on behalf of the people of Ireland, but we're not getting any say in it.
Well, the typical as usual, we're not being represented by the state. We're being once again shit-shined, put away to the corner, and be told not to say anything. You know, it's an absolute disgrace. But does anything surprise me nowadays with this government? No, it doesn't, because they saw the way that the Irish people rose on the 9th of March this year, or the 8th of March, sorry, and they showed them what people power can do. And they totally disrespected our views. They didn't even want to acknowledge our victory. And once again, they're doing the same thing as they're doing all the time. They're running up to their EU buddies, doing all this nonsense so that they all can get jobs in Europe. That's what it's all about, Niall. Mm. You know?
Well, I don't mind them getting jobs in Europe if they're doing a good job representing us, but they're not.
Well, they're not doing a good job, Niall. But
no.
You see, that's what I'm saying. They're only playing to the EU gallery. And they know that the people in this country have no time for their cop, for their carry on. Like, with respect, you have a tea boy who's going to take over as Taoiseach in 2 weeks' time, which is an absolute embarrassment. Like, the same guy who dropped out of college, who failed his exams, and he's going to be running the country in 2 weeks' time.
Well, I think the most ironic part of that is that, of course, there was a vote of no confidence in Simon Harris as Minister for Health,
exactly,
which nearly brought the government down, and yet all of a sudden they're quite happy to have him running the country. They couldn't even... He couldn't be Minister of Health, but they want him to run the country. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the same idiot who was going around endorsing NPHET back in the start of 2020, telling people to be good boys and girls and adhere to the laws, you know?
Mm.
No, I don't agree with this, Niall, because I tell you something, our country is finished. And the reason it's finished is because politicians are selling us to the highest bidder. They're, it's like a kind of a thing where they're kind of putting us on the side sheets.
Yeah.
And they're trying to kind of run roughshod. And what they're really doing is they're selling us to the highest bidder. And what they're doing is they're trying to get rid of us and replace them with a load of you-know-what who we don't know anything about. I've seen it myself here in Cork. If you go down Patrick Street here at 9 o'clock on a weeknight or any weekend, the place is full with illegal immigrants blocking doorways, left, right and centre, and all the Irish people are being scattered away, left, right and centre, left to die. It's disgraceful. It is absolutely disgraceful. And it should not be allowed. But as you said a while ago, and you made it very, very clear on many occasions, that the Irish people now, the majority of them, especially, what worries me really is the older generation, because the older generation, the people in their 70s and 80s, right, they're the kind of people who are going to vote these traditional parties because they think they don't see anything wrong with them, like. And that's where the problem lies. But
you're in touch, Joe, because, you know, you listen to the media. You know, my other callers are all reasonably in touch. But the problem is that, as I said earlier on, you know, to Michael Collins, that when I walk around town or I walk down Grafton Street, the majority of people just are going about their business. They're not really clued in to what's happening with Sinn Féin or the U-turns or what Fine Gael are doing or how bad Simon Harris is or why Leo Varadkar. They're not really in tune. They just hear the basics. So they'll just go and vote as their father did, as their mother did, and vote for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, and as well as that, then you have the likes of some of the young woke lefties who are going around, like, you know, they're as much useful as a tin of sardines, like, you know. They're useless.
As a handbrake on a canoe, is the...
With respect, Niall, I don't agree with this. I think that any referendum that's been debated should be before the people. Like, we're supposed to be having another referendum on the 7th of April, or sorry, the 7th of June this year, on something we don't even know anything about.
Well, this is the patent. Yeah. Well, I suppose it's very important for people who are in business, but for your average citizen, they don't need to know about it, unfortunately. But for businesses, it is actually an important referendum.
Right.
I'll talk about it more when the time comes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But to see any... As you know, Niall, and you're an educated man, you've seen it all over the years. You're the only broadcaster, along with Ben Scannell and John McGurk and probably that one or two more, who see what's going on. And the sad thing about it is you have a media up in RT, Mount Rose, who don't give two fiddlers about what the people think. They're shit-shine to the government and to all the other elitists. And, you know, it's absolutely shocking. It's absolutely shocking.
You know, you are right, Joe. Joe, thanks for that. Thanks very much indeed. Let me go to Tony. Tony, hi, how are you?
Hello, no, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, Tony. Billy and Joseph will be with you in a second. But Tony, getting back to the EU migration pact, do you believe there should be a referendum?
Of course there should be a referendum. No, I think it's serious that that's going to affect the future of the children of Ireland. Of course there should be a referendum.
But we do make decisions in Europe. Yeah, but we make decisions in Europe on a regular basis, or sign up for stuff on a regular basis that affects the future.
Yeah, but they haven't got the impact of this one, have
no,
they?
No, no, true.
Like,
true.
It's the impact of it. It's just like the people on the... It's the people in the media were saying, oh, there was children out at that protest in Coolock.
Yeah.
Yes. So what? Mm. But, like, the kids have to learn it's their future that is... But just like it's their future, no, I'm in the same age group as you. It's not our. There's whole cities in Europe, or parts of cities in Europe, that are being turned into ghettos, third world ghettos. And you had a lad on the other day, he says, oh, well, name one. I says, okay. I says, I'll name two. I says, like, there's a Belmere outside Amsterdam. I says, and there's Muhlenbeck in Belgium. He says, oh, you Google that. So why, even if you do Google it, I didn't Google it, I was at work.
It's irrelevant if you Googled it. It's just a fact, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you. But his thing was, oh, you Googled it and realised it was a no-go area. And that's the attitude of the left.
Here's what I said earlier on to Michael Collins.
And saying they don't care.
When you look at the pact, and they're selling it, this pact to us, as something wonderful... As
but
you know,
we don't want to buy it now.
I know, but what they're doing, here's the thing. You're in touch, Tony. I'm in touch, right? And we know what's going on at the moment, right? But they're selling it to the general public as, you know, oh, this will be wonderful. We'll fast track people. We don't have to take them in anymore. We can just pay money instead. They say all these fancy things.
That in the first place, they should have been doing that in the first instance.
This is what I'm saying. It's a Hobson's choice. It's better than what we have, but we shouldn't have what we have.
But it's still only the same as what we have.
Yeah, it's more of the same of what we have.
Yeah, it's still only the same as what we have. And these people will not open their eyes. Like Birmingham in England now has been deemed as probably the most dangerous city in Europe. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I could bring you to areas in Birmingham, I could bring you to Handsworth, I can bring you to Elm Rock. You will not walk down there as a white man. You will not.
I'm not familiar with the situation, but I've heard about it. Yes, I've heard about it. And knife crime is extremely high.
And it's going to be like that in Ireland. These people just totally torn off from the reality of what's going to happen. They couldn't care less if it's staring them in the face. But the parts of Paris, just like the suburbs in Paris, just like the towns in Sweden, you just can't go into them, and the police will not go into them. Right, because you're not talking about bricks and stones and bottles being thrown. You're talking about hand grenades being thrown.
Hang on, Tony. Just stay there for a second. Let me just bring Billy into the conversation. Billy, you know, Tony is talking about the future. It is a big decision for the future of the country to sign up to a pact that many people seem very unsure about, to sign up for more of the same, essentially.
Niall, I be honest, I didn't know a lot about the pact before I did some quick reading on it there before coming on. So full disclosure there.
Yeah.
Just quote an article I found on it. So under the deal, frontline states, so the likes of Italy, Greece, would be required to institute a stricter asylum procedure at the border for those deemed unlikely to be accepted. They would also be given greater leeway to send back rejected applicants. So that says to me that under this pact, people coming from Libya and the north of Africa trying to get into Europe from those positions will be processed quicker at the border.
That's what they're saying.
And sent back.
But,
right?
But if you believe them, Billy. That's what they're saying.
But we can only take them at face value.
But we've been taking the government of this country.
No, we don't believe them.
Hang on, Tony. Billy, we've been taking our own government at face value for the last 5 years. Look what's happened.
Fair enough. Don't take them at face value. That's fine. Whether this should be brought to a referendum or not, I do not know what the requirements to bring this to referendum are. I think under Irish constitution, it's only when there's an EU treaty.
Okay. The constitution allows for a referendum, or what they call an ordinary referendum, which is not a constitutional mm-hmm. referendum. The only way an ordinary referendum can be called is if a petition is signed by the Oireachtas members or majority of senators, and it is brought, and it's at the discretion of the president.
Okay. So, and is that ordinary referendum legally binding?
Yes.
Is the question.
Yes, I would imagine
so
it has
not
to be.
Like, It's not like, a poll. Brexit referendum.
Yeah.
It's not like the Brexit referendum where that was an advisory referendum rather than a legally binding.
Well, I don't know. I'm just reading it here, so I don't know. I mean, it just says that whereas a constitutional referendum is mandatory for a constitutional amendment bill, an ordinary referendum occurs only if a bill contains a proposal of such national importance that the will of the people therein ought to be ascertained.
Well, Niall, I'll tell you what, I've said it before on your podcast and the radio show. If people feel very strongly about this, write your TDs, write your senators and tell them how you feel about this and get them to put it together to a referendum, because that's the only way it'll happen.
See, Billy, I agree with you. When you look at some of the stuff in the pact, you say, OK, that seems reasonable. That seems reasonable. Yeah, they're going to fingerprint and check with Eurodac and stuff that we're not doing at the moment properly. That all seems reasonable. But that's only reasonable because we're not enforcing our own immigration laws that we currently have at the moment. And what we're looking at is a shit show and a reckless immigration policy.
The reckless immigration policy has been there for decades in this country.
Not as bad as it has been.
It's come to a head now.
The numbers have massively increased, Billy. Massively increased.
Or 2 decades.
Over the last 3 years, we've seen a massive increase.
I'm sorry, Niall. Going back as far as when Michael McDougall was Minister for Justice back in the early 2000s and changed, and we voted
the Anchor Baby Law.
The Anchor Baby Law. Yeah, that's when it was getting bad, and it has gotten worse again. But this has been a problem for 20 years plus in this country. I agree with you.
Our policy hasn't been great for the last 20 years, but particularly in the last 3 years, we've seen a massive increase in the amount of people seeking international protection.
We have definitely seen a massive increase, but now the direct provision system has been an absolute joke for years. Appeal after appeal after appeal after appeal for people, all funded by the taxpayer. You know, it's a case like what is a reasonable amount of appeals for people to make before the government takes it?
Okay, well then, would you sign it, Billy?
The pact?
Yeah.
No, as I said, Niall, I won't sign anything that I haven't read deeply in depth.
But from what you know about it currently at the moment, do you think it's an attractive idea?
From what I know about it, Niall, I can tell you I don't know enough about it to make an educated decision on it.
Oh, okay.
All I have is a political article that I've seen here and what you've spoken about today. And for me, that is not enough information for me to make an educated decision on it.
I mean, that's a fair point, Tony, that the majority of people in the country don't know about it. And look, if you're going to have a referendum, then they'll be informed.
Okay, like, and you use the old adage, if in doubt, leave it out. Don't sign something, then go back on it. But at least you can read up on it and it can be done again. But don't sign something if you don't know.
Exactly.
It's like all the politicians, politicians said yes, yes. They all said yes, yes. Okay, and now they turn around and said, well, they didn't quite understand it. And they've all flip-flopped over to a no-no. Why? Because 75% of the population...
They're populists, Tony. They're populists.
Oh, yeah, but there's Fine Gael TDs after doing the same.
Well, there's nothing against. There has been Fianna Fáil TDs and senators have done that. But, yeah.
But they're the same, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. They're the same, aren't they?
No, they're two separate parties.
Hold on for a second. I grew up in a house and my father was a staunch Fine Gael man. My grandfather, mm-hmm. on the other hand, was a staunch Fianna Fáil man. They would mm-hmm. turn in their graves now if they knew that they joined up. It's like the Labour Party and the Conservatives in the UK joining up together. It's like the DUP and Sinn Féin joining up together in Northern Ireland. What? They are the same.
We can go on about the semantics of it, but I'm not going to disagree with Tony. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are exactly the same.
They're the same.
They're two sides of the one coin, but they're two separate.
No, they are actually separate parties. I'm well aware of that. No, and he's well aware of that. But what he's saying is the policies are the same. If you go back in time, political parties stood for something different.
They're in government together. They operate under a programme for government. For the auspices of the time that they're in government, yes, they are a unified government. They put policies together that are unified policies. Now, I've heard you talking to people about who they're going to vote for in the next general election or in the local elections. I think anyone who's telling you who they're going to vote for here and now, without reading party manifestos and talking to politicians directly, you know, deciding 3 months or 6 months or a year out from an election who you're going to vote for is...
Do really kind of they lie through their teeth. We have Leo Varadkar, we have Roderick O'Gorman on the TV, Helen McEntee, looking into the camera with a straight face and lying through their teeth.
And even Tony, Leo Varadkar stood and said
the Dublin Convention is a far-right myth. So just like, is that correct or not? He said the Dublin Convention is a far-right myth.
He was corrected by a barrister later on that he was incorrect. He was incorrect in his assertion. No, I understand. They do misinform. Actually, stay there for a second. Thank you, Tony. Stay there, Billy, for a second, because I want to go to Joseph as well. Joseph, hi, how are you?
No, thank you for having me on.
Good. Joseph, this EU migration pact, do you know much about it? Have you read it?
I haven't read the full text of it, but I know the gist of it, and there's nothing good in there. There's no way they can justify it. There's nothing that they're going to say, you know, oh, it's a great idea that we're forced by this pact to take in so many migrants. And if we don't, we have to pay a huge fee. How does that benefit us in any way? Where is the silver lining in that for the Irish people?
And in case people didn't know, by the way, we've signed up to quite a lot more than other countries because we have a high GDP, which is an exaggerated GDP, by the way.
Exactly. For a lot of calculations, a lot of countries don't even use the Irish GDP. Because they know it's inflated by the big tech companies who register a lot of their income here, but they're not actually getting their income here. It's all international. So that figure is complete nonsense, and the average Irish person is really suffering. So, like, you're not going to find someone on today's show who's really going to, you know, support this bill. I don't know what sort of lies they'd be telling to support this bill. But for anyone clued in at all, it's just bad. It's just there's nothing good in there for us. Now, the problem. I'm going to say the problem is what I'm really worried is they know that this is absolutely toxic. They know that this is not what the Irish people want, and yet they're still ramming it through after we voted no, after we got Varadkar out in, you know, he knew his time was done. He has no popularity. Why are they forcing this through? What is their reasoning? That I can't figure out. Any rational party would say, right, guys, let's backpedal. This is going to lose us the election. But they seem to be going full steam. What the hell is that about? Do they know something we don't? Is there something going to happen or change between now and when they call the general election? I'm kind of worried about that. So, I mean, I don't know. Does anyone have more insight? Like,
why? I ask this question all the time. Why you see so-called intelligent politicians making bad decisions? I've asked that question a million times. And maybe, Billy, do you have an answer to that? Why we see so-called intelligent politicians who want to get re-elected, clearly, you know, making decisions that clearly the people don't agree with?
Oh, Niall, why does anyone do anything? Politicians, as I said, Niall, politicians.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm getting a lot of feedback.
No, it's Joseph's phone. Sorry, I do apologise. I'll just lower him down for a second. Go ahead.
With politicians, Niall, like as I said, they're signed up to the whip. Like political parties are signed up to the whip, and when the party makes a decision. Politicians are, you know.
I'm 100% with you on that, but why are the leaders of these parties making decisions and the ministers making decisions that clearly, like, for example, Simon Harris comes in his first interview in News Talk yesterday morning. He knows the majority of people in this country don't want the hate speech bill. He knows now there's other politicians backpedaling and you turning on it, and yet he still turns around and says, we're putting it through. So why are they making decisions?
I think he's, with regards to the hate speech bill, I think he's doing that because he needs to be seen to support his current Minister for Justice, who has championed this. I do think that hate speech bill or elements of it will be gutted, and it will be a greatly reduced bill from what was originally reported. That would be my estimation. It'll quietly go away.
No.
But in public at the moment,
Sorry, Joseph, what are you saying? Very quick.
No, I'm saying even if he guts it, if he makes it a hate speech bill in name only, still putting that to the people, that's the element that people are going to, you know, vote against, and it's going to give him bad press.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm worried about is, maybe he's got a job lined up in Europe after this. Maybe he wants to appease someone that's not the Irish people. So our only way forward is we basically have to force them into a general election much, much sooner than they'd like. I think they want to push it off now till early next year. That they could do so much damage, especially with this migration pact, and if they
do
round through
the sitting government into a general election.
I mean, if there's a protest every day of, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 people outside the Dáil, and we're screaming it and shouting it, and outside RTE as well, I think they just could not hold on to power. They could not say we're legitimate.
And I honestly do not believe that you will get 5 to 10,000 people outside the Dáil 5 days a week or 7 days a week.
That's the problem. We have lost the ability to protest. I think a lot of that's to do with social media. We think we vent on social media now. We don't actually get out on the streets anymore. Lads, I'm running out of time rapidly here. Sorry, Breida. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
I'm good, Breida. Just, are you familiar with the EU Migration Pact from what you've heard?
No, it's only from what I've heard, but like I would be totally against it. I mean, like we're oversubscribed as it is. We can't cope with what we have. We can't even cope with our own people. And that Minister for Social Protection is, to me, farcical. When we were reduced pay, she wouldn't give us our social welfare payments.
Mm.
She refused to give them to us. So she's all about her and whatever else. They don't care. They're so arrogant and they're so, you know, they're so beyond reproach in their minds that they're going to do whatever they want to do. And we can just, like, we can suffer it, like lambs to the slaughter. But I'm 100% against it. No, 100%.
Okay.
Next thing we lose our neutrality as well, you know.
Oh, that's like, gone. We've already lost that one. I mean, sure, look, we're sending military over there to help people in Ukraine, for example, and help military in Ukraine. We're giving money. We're funding a war. So we've already lost our neutrality. Neutrality is not in the Irish Constitution anyway. Never was.
Is it not?
No.
Niall, just on the neutrality thing there.
Just very quickly, Billy, go on.
If I can, we're not sending people to combatants. We're sending people to train Ukrainians to demine the country, to take away land.
We're still involved.
So it's a humanitarian.
I'm not having a go. I'm just saying, you know, we can't claim to be neutral. We're not. Neutrality is not. It's not in the Constitution. I know that. I'm aware.
We were on the side of the Allies in the Second World War.
I personally don't agree with
this. Like planes to land here. Be neutral.
I don't agree with us getting involved in the war in Ukraine, but that's just my personal opinion. But to try and claim that we are neutral or a neutral country or there's neutrality in our constitution is nonsense, because there is no neutrality in our constitution, unfortunately, Breida. As much as there should be, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, Breida, Billy, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on. Thank you to everybody who got involved in the conversations. Some of the comments coming in. Mike Savage says, hell no, we should be opting out of any such pact or we'll get even more migrants dumped into our country. As it is, we should be deporting the vast majority of illegal migrants. Krubder, or CB Rowder, I think it is, I'm not too sure what the name is, says, there has to be something that can be done so we can have a say. Well, lobby your senators, lobby members of the Oireachtas, lobby your TDs, because the only way you'll get a referendum on this, I think it's too late, to be honest with you, the only way you might get a referendum on this is indeed if it's put to the people, or should I say, if the senators and the members of the Oireachtas put it to the president. And it is at the discretion of the president that we have a referendum on a non-constitutional led piece of legislation, or treaty in this case. Lots and lots of people texting in. Don't forget, by the way, keep supporting the show. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. You can subscribe or donate there.